If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, strange birds seem to appear at very ominous times to one listener who wonders, why are they doing this? And what does it all mean?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can, of course, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show and you want to help keep us on the air, we'd greatly appreciate that. Become a supporter of the show, an extra podcast person, as we call them. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets access to all the bonus episodes, new ones every week, our archive of episodes, 8 years worth of that, all commercial free to binge away on, and of course, advanced episodes of the show released to our EPPs before everybody else, weeks before they go out to the public, and those are ad-free as well. So lots of ways to binge away on the show that you love, and no ads. Just enjoy it and get all the bonus content. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today, and how are you this fine day?
Hey, friend. I'm pretty good. How's it going with you?
Well, I got bonus items today when my grocery delivery was delivered. I do is the
like someone else's groceries, or you just kind of ended up with some extra stuff.
I think it was someone else's, some of their groceries, because at first I was like, it's sitting on the porch, and I'm like, okay, and I'm getting it to take in, and I'm noticing there's like honey nut or apple cinnamon Cheerios and Raisin Bran, two items which I don't think I've ever bought in my adult life. Not that there's anything wrong with them; it's just items I don't buy, and I'm like, wait a second here. And then I'm concerned, like, well, is my order right? Like, did they get the things I ordered? And they did. But there was like three extra bags with the Cheerios. The other one had marshmallows in it. Two large boxes of Queen Anne chocolate-covered cherries. And like, I'm talking like economy size, like Sam's Club size big. And then, cherry mash, the old candy, the kind of the classic candy, two bags of that. And
what the hell? Like, those people really like disgusting candy.
I know.
Because I do not like either of those things at all.
I can't stand either of them. Harper is having a field day. She's like, oh, free candy. And then there was Doritos, a bag of Doritos. I'm like,
Okay, good.
I'll take the Doritos. Harper was, she had her first taste of a chocolate-covered cherry today, and she was just like, oh, this is amazing. I'm like, well, great.
When I was her age, I loved both of those things.
Sure.
As an adult, like, because I got a cherry mash a while back.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I remember I love those. And I took a bite of it, and I had to spit it out. I hated it so much.
So sweet. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, as a kid, of course, you know, you love it. I was like that with candy corn, too. I loved candy corn when I was a kid. When I have it now, I'm like, ah. Like, it's
I still kind of like it once in a while.
I like one kernel. But I could eat like handfuls of it as a kid. And the little pumpkins, too. Now it's like, I'll eat like two when I'm good. And that's all I want. I like the look of them. I like having it around for Halloween. But I just, I don't have the taste for it that I used to.
Imagine someone's disappointment when they didn't get all that shit.
Where's my chocolate covered cherries? I probably
my cherry mash. I love my cherry mash.
There's going to be a couple. It'll be like some sort of domestic incident because one of them thinks that the other stole the Queen Anne cherries and the other one's going to think they stole the cherry mash.
It's like, now I'll never be regular. I don't have my Raisin Bran. Thanks a lot.
It's going to be then Cops or something. It's like, oh my God, look what happened. But I couldn't control it.
You know damn well the store heard about that immediately.
Yeah.
Probably. And, you know, since you have it, but it's not like, you know, it's at your house.
I think
it would be weird to send it back.
Yeah, you really can't do that. I don't think you can even legally do that because I could have then tampered with the product in my house and put it back out there. So I think Walmart just takes the loss and says, enjoy your chocolate-covered cherries with your ghost stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First letter says, let me start off by saying this is not much of a ghost story, but it is something extremely creepy and unexplainable, and I'm hoping you guys can share my story. It was back in 2012. I was 19 years old, and I was pregnant with my first child. My son's dad, ex-boyfriend at the time, was always in trouble with the law, and he and his family had an awfully bad reputation in town. Mind you, we live in an exceedingly small town, so everyone knows of everyone. One evening, we had taken off to go get some groceries. We got back at 10 p.m. That's when I noticed two blackbirds sitting on top of my porch light. It was 10 p.m. Why would there be birds out that late? What was creepier, when I got near the birds to open my door, they would not move. They just sat there still. I became so terrified that I had this bad feeling inside of me. I started to worry and question why there would be birds out this late. And on top of that, they did not even bother to fly away when I got nearby. Opened my door at about 10:30 p.m. and peeked outside to still find the birds sitting there. I could not believe they had left. Finally, I got a pillow and scared them away. The next day, I went out with my normal day. When it started to get dark, the same birds I had seen the previous night were on my porch light, but this time it was only one and it was facing towards my door. I became so terrified that I called my mom. My parents are religious people, so they have their beliefs. My mom had told me to put holy water the next day where the birds had been at, so I did that the following morning. Later at night, I waited for the birds to appear on my porch light and nothing. The next night around 10 p.m., the exact time I had seen the birds, my ex-boyfriend had an altercation with two males, which was a father and a son. He ended up shooting them. The father died instantly, and the son had died later that night at the hospital. My ex-boyfriend was charged with voluntary manslaughter, but only for the dad. For the son, they were able to prove it was self-defense. I was so shocked and scared because, to me, that was a sign that those two birds had come to alert me that there was going to be death involved that week. It all added up in my head. Call me crazy, but it was two birds, two deaths, when only one bird came back the next night is because there was only going to be a change for one person. Big coincidence, right? A month or so after this happened, I moved out of the apartment. While cleaning and moving all of my stuff out, I had the entrance door open because we were in and out of the apartment getting stuff out. The same looking bird that I had seen those nights before the killing occurred, tried flying inside the apartment as if it was trying to come at me. It did not seem happy. It made such a weird noise while trying to get inside. I felt like it was trying to attack me. My mom and I had to hit it with whatever we had by us to make it go away. I'm no longer with my son's dad, as a lot of bad things were happening to me while being with him. That's something in life that scared me and traumatized me. From time to time, I think about that week and those birds. I cannot explain the way those birds looked. They were not the typical black crows you see out in public. These birds were different and gave such a bad vibe when you looked at them. I just thought I would share this and find out what your thoughts and opinions were. Do you think it was something dark that was trying to alert me? And why were bad things happening to me? Thank you for letting me share, and I hope to hear answers back. I love your podcast. Keep up the good work. Thoughts?
I do think it was something dark.
Yeah?
I do, because you never see birds at night.
Yeah.
I mean, once in a while you do, like they're in a tree and, you know, I don't know, for some reason they all move. Mm-hmm. But you just don't. And frequently what you think is a bird at night is a bat.
Sure.
So why would they be right there? And then that's horrific, mm-hmm. the deal with her boyfriend. I can't even imagine going through that.
No.
But that's just weird to me. Now, the one flying in, is there, I don't know what that's all about, but maybe it was just kind of like, you're not supposed to be here. Go.
The universe.
You're like, I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying real hard. But I'm glad that she broke up with him.
Yeah. I think that was.
Because when you're telling that story, I'm like, please. I don't want her to, like, he goes to prison. I'm going to wait for you, honey.
Yeah. And then he gets out and more horrible shit happens. And yeah.
I mean, she does have a child with him, so she is connected. But still, I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it could be just kind of the universe giving a sign with the bird. So, yeah, I mean, I think it could be connected, definitely. Yeah, so I agree. I agree pretty much with everything you said. I don't need to reiterate it because I think you spoke it pretty well. That's
thank you.
That's my thoughts on it. Thank you for sharing that experience with us.
That was a cool, creepy story.
It was. Anytime birds get involved, crows are creepy. Crows are smart and creepy and scary.
And big.
Oh my God. You know, like crows have funerals for their dead.
Well, isn't it crows that are like a group of crows is a murder of crows?
Yeah, it is. And
so, I mean, that's kind of creepy.
They can use tools. They can learn to use tools. They remember faces. They do not forgive. And like, if you wronged a crow somehow, I don't know, you wronged a crow, but if you wronged a crow, it will remember you and it will attack you even if it hasn't seen you in years.
Well, maybe that explains the whole apartment thing later. Cause the one crow that she's shooing away.
Yeah.
Is like, hey, it's you.
They are creepy.
I'm coming after you.
Flying little dinosaurs. But incredibly intelligent. As much as people think of them as, you know, because they just, you know, they obviously feast on, you know, anything that they can get their claws into. But it's they're very, very intelligent, like scarily intelligent.
Lots of people, and I know a lot of people that think of birds as signs. You know, a lot of people are like that with cardinals. And
yeah.
After their loved one dies and they see a cardinal.
Yeah.
You know, so I do think that a lot of people believe in a.
I think that, or at least I like to think that. My grandpa was really big into bird watching and he loved that. And I gave him a bird book for Christmas one year and all that. Whenever I see cardinals, I think of him. The thing is, though, there's like a flock of cardinals that live in the tree outside of my office. And,
oh, my God, that's so cool, though.
And yesterday I walked outside and there's like a little pen outside the office where our two horses are. And it was like I'd never seen so many cardinals in one sitting.
That's so cool. There
was like 12 cardinals all over this thing. We also have flocks of bluebirds. So I have bluebirds and cardinals that live in my yard. And all I see here for the most part are bluebirds and cardinals. I've seen like 20 bluebirds at a time eyeing up my garden.
Because bluebirds keep all the other ones away.
They're pretty.
They're kind of mean.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty birds, but it's like, it's just kind of, it's so funny because it's like every time you walk outside and robins were what I saw up north at such a regular basis. I see cardinals that frequently now. Like every time you walk outside, you will see a cardinal here, almost guaranteed. So I guess it's just like their climate. Yeah, but I like to think that. I've always thought that, and it's kind of comforting to kind of have that. Because sometimes they pop up at the weirdest times. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know if I'm noticing it more because I'm in a tough moment or something or what, but I do seem to see them quite a bit.
It's me and pennies. That's the way I am with pennies.
Yeah, I think the world, the universe, whatever you want to call it, kind of works that way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to a letter. It says, in the spring of 2012, my husband, our three oldest children, and I went to San Antonio, Texas for a spring break vacation. We traveled around looking at all the historical sites, river walks, restaurants, and such, always keeping in mind that ghost stories are quite common in San Antonio. At one point in our trip, we decided last minute to go to San Antonio Zoo for the day. I'm not a photographer, but I take lots of pictures. And in this case, I use my iPhone to take a rapid series of photos throughout our trip to sort through later back at home. The zoo was no different. Not too far in the zoo trip, we come to the Komodo dragon exhibit. I remember the exhibit because I'm both fascinated by Komodo dragons and because of the picture I found when we got home. I remember specifically there was an indoor enclosure with a roof as well as an outside yard, and the door to the outside was closed off. I remember the dragon was pacing around, and I remember it heading towards that door. remember remarking that he must like something on the other side of the door because he kept going over there and commenting that he must be ready for recess. Took several pictures and we moved on to other animals. After a week was up, we got home and I plugged my phone into the computer. Picture after picture was what was to be expected. A lot were deleted because they were not extraordinary in any way, but then we got to the zoo pictures, the most unassuming place on our whole trip. And what we found in the pictures quite shocked me. I have several pictures of before the ghost shot and two after it. In the pictures before, there's nothing except the Komodo dragon heading towards the door. Then suddenly, there's one shot of a person in front of the door. The person is not, or at least how it appears to me, dressed in modern clothes, and they seem to be standing in a distinct way. The photo directly after that one had nothing except the dragon. I've never really known what to think about it. For the longest time, I only showed my husband and mom because I did not know what to say about it. I only recently have been interested in getting others' opinions on the matter, as I do not think I have ever had a clear read on my own beliefs with this photo. Though I do believe in the paranormal, I was having lived in a somewhat haunted house during my childhood. I say somewhat because we did not have other overt happenings, but subtle happenings that included a sighting. I'm attaching a side-by-side of a before shot and a ghost shot. As you can see, the Komodo dragon appears to be looking at something in both photos. In the second photo, it appears he's looking right at the person. I don't have the photos in front of me, but I'll take your word for it, and I'll take a look at it another time. Thoughts on the story?
Well, you know, on cameras, when you do those rapid pictures, I mean, on your phone, like, yeah, they go fast.
It's like a video.
Like somebody has time to jump in one and out of the other.
No.
Because it's like, I mean, I can't make the sound that would go that fast.
Click, click, click. But
It's faster than click, click, click.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes you accidentally put it on that mode and it's like, whoa, how the hell did I just take 20 pictures in 2 seconds?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how fast hers did that, but I don't get how in the middle of those pictures, something can be in one picture, not in one of the others.
No, I mean, especially in that sort of a succession. I mean, if she's doing it in the way that I assume she's doing it with those pictures, there would be no humanly possible way for that to even happen.
Because if you're going snap, snap, snap,
even that would be hard. Even that would be hard to get out of. Like, if I challenged you and you were in snap, 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 but I said, okay, you can only be in the middle shot, that would still be really hard to get in and out of. And even at that pace, you know, I mean, it would just be so difficult to do. So, I mean, I think you almost have to deduce that something's there.
And you can tell, like, okay, this is the succession of pictures.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's really weird.
I want to go back and take a look at that photo. I'm going to see if I can find it here.
But don't send it to me tonight, okay?
I'm going to send it to you over and over and over at 3 a.m. Urgent, no, Carol, 911, look at these photos.
Yeah.
In the murder shed. Go to the murder shed and look at your phone.
Go to your murder she shed now.
Let's go to a caller at 855-853-4802. Hi.
At my grandma's house. And at the time.
Stand by. That didn't start at the beginning for whatever reason. Let's start that over. Here we go. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, my name is D. So I don't really know how to, like, really explain what this is, but I was probably about a sophomore or a junior in high school, so whatever age range that'd be. And I was living with my mom and my siblings at my grandma's house. And at the time, let me see. Pretty sure it was my uncle that lived upstairs. So the place that we lived in, it was basically like a duplex house, and basically the top and bottom complexes that was in that house looking place or whatever. My grandma lived in the bottom and my uncle lived at the top floor. So it was basically just a family ran out basically. So I don't know what it was, but this particular night, like, I was just feeling like sick, like curled up in a ball, couldn't move, didn't want to move, sick. to my stomach, everything. My body was hot, like I didn't want to move. And I had this rosary on my neck. And, you know, I like rosaries. I always kept them on. I tried to always get my grandma to give me some more whenever she would get some. So, yeah. And my mom was in the living room or whatever. So I just start praying. I'm just like, man, God, like, can you please, like, help me out? Like, I don't know what this is. Like, can you heal me or something? I don't know. So all of a sudden, like, as I pray, and like when I'm done praying, like I feel something sit at the edge of bed. Like I'm in this room by myself, and it's like, oh no, it's probably like 11 o'clock at night. Probably it's late. Like it's time to go sleep. Dang near, it's late. I got to get up for school in the morning in case I probably do feel good. But it's late, and you know, the door is closed or whatever, and I'm in a room by myself, and I'm feeling sick. So I just feel like this pressure just at the edge of the bed. Sit down, and I'm curled up in a ball, and I'm facing, like, the wall. So my face is, like, in a direction where my back is basically to the door. And in order for me to, like, see, I got to turn around. And when I felt, like, this heaviness on the edge of the bed, it was like, I'm not turning around because, first off, the door didn't open. So ain't no way in hell, like, somebody just walked in here. So in that instance, I start praying. I'm like, look, God, I don't know what this is. Like, you know, I don't feel good. Like, I just want to be healed. And like, all of a sudden, like, I don't know if to describe it as a finger or just like a feeling, but in the middle of my back, like, you know, there's like this feeling of sliding or movement going up and down. And if I remember correctly, as it went down, like, I started to get hot. Then, like, as the movement went upward, I was like, the temperature changed to cold. And I'm like, okay. So I start to, like, question some shit. Because at this point, I'm freaked out. I'm holding my rosary. I'm not looking in no direction. My eyes are just closed, and I'm just letting whatever take place. So I start praying again. I'm like, God, look, if that's you, you know, can you give me some type of sign or something and, you know, like, do it again. And when I say do it again, like, just some type of movement of up and down the middle of my back. And it actually does happen again. And then it's just like, okay, I kind of get, like, a ease instead of, like, feeling afraid. And I don't know if that's normal, but basically, like, I get a ease. And I my body, like, kind of, like, relaxes. And honestly, I think I end up falling asleep. I don't think I go to my mom until the next day. But so, like, I tell my mom about it. I'm pretty sure it's the next day. And I'm like, yeah, so I was in a room last night, blah, 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 with the rule. Went, you know, as something went down my back, it got hot. As it went up, it got cold, blah, blah, blah. But the next day, like, I literally woke up feeling fine. Like, there was, as if there was nothing wrong with me, like, last night, the night before, or anything. Like, I just got out of bed, went straight to school, you know, it was fine. So when I told my mom about it, she was like, I mean, that's cool and dandy and all, but let's go walk around and pray in this room, because you don't really know what it or what was. And I've been told a lot, like, the devil can come in disguises. And thinking about that, even though, like, something, like, kind of, like, put me at ease, in the back of my mind, knowing that the devil can come in disguises, it's just like, okay, like, is it really what I think it was, or was it something else pretending to be what I thought it was, and now my mind is just all discombobulated. So I still think about that when people bring up ghost stories and stuff, because it's just like, what was it that took place with me? Really, you know. So she basically, you know, after that was really all that took place. I don't really know what to call it, but, you know, my mom walked around with her Bible, cleansed the room and stuff like that, you know, just out of, like, I guess paranoia or, like, religion or something like that. But yeah, that's really it. I do have, like, maybe one or two more, but it's about my brother. I'll probably tell that another time. But yeah, hopefully this ends up on the podcast. Thanks for listening anyway. If not, I actually just started listening to this, so I'm interested in all this that I'm hearing. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that experience with us. Thoughts?
I have two thoughts on this, two sets of thoughts. When he was telling the story, like one thing I thought of was a comforting thing, maybe. You know, like when you're really sick and your mom or someone who loves you sits down at the edge of your bed and they kind of rub your back. That's what I was thinking of as he was telling the story, because I was like, oh, I bet he found that comforting. And he didn't. He found it terrifying, which I would have too. The other thought that I had about that is that I have been really sick with an extremely high fever before, and it made me kind of delirious. And I think that can happen too. Like when you're really, really sick, and he said he was really, really sick, that, you know, if you're praying because you're so sick, you're sick. So, but yeah, I had like really weird, vivid dreams. It was almost like I'd taken something like a drug, but it was just that the fever was so high, it was messing with my head. It was weird. So, I mean, it could have been some of that too. Now, the next day he did wake up feeling fine. You know, maybe his fever broke. Although when you have a really high fever, you know when the fever breaks. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think, you know, it very likely could be that he had an experience there that certainly was paranormal, that that wasn't necessarily fever induced. I mean, could that be a possibility when you look at all the rational explanations? I've never had that experience, though, of the it's something I guess I don't want to say I want to have it, but it would be an experience that I guess I could check off my list. I've never been in a state where my fever was so high that I was, you know, seeing things or kind of delusional.
I had a fever of more than 104.
Wow. I've had a fever of about 104. I think it's like the highest, but I've never,
I think it was like 104.5 or 7, something. It was getting close to 105. And I really should have been in the hospital.
Like, at that point,
I was in a little bitty town in Western Kansas. They're like, we don't know what to do with her.
I think,
and I didn't have insurance.
It's one of those things where once you have it, you get it, you know, because you've gone through it and you go, oh, I know what that's like now. But if you've never had the experience, all you can do is go, I believe you. I just don't understand what that would feel like until I've been there. Like the other day when I had a panic attack for the first time in my life, never have had that experience. So I didn't know what it was like. And it kind of freaked me the fuck out because it was, my mouth got so dry. I didn't know what was going on. You know, I wasn't tingling in any areas. I was like, am I having a heart attack? Am I having a stroke? Like, what the hell is going on? And it was just that, and it subsided, but it was really kind of freaky. But now I know what that feels like. So when people say, you know, they've had a panic attack, all I could do in the past prior to having that experience was take their word for it. This is really difficult and to deal with at the moment that it's happening. I can't relate, but I have to just kind of try and empathize with what I have. Now I have that in my database of what that feels like. And I think the same is true of things like that, especially, you know, ghostly type things. Until you have that, all you can do is go, I'm going to guess this what it must kind of feel like. But usually reality is so much of a different experience than what we assume it's going to feel like.
And I think, too, if you had a fever that was that high. And you were delusional, and because I get it, like, because I like, I, my fever was so bad, I ended up with shingles. Which was really horrible. But I was not better the next day. It wasn't like when you get that sick, it takes a while. Because if your fever breaks, it's like you just, the whole bed, it's like somebody threw water on it. And he didn't say anything like that. The next day, woke up, was fine and going to go to school. So that's the part that makes no sense if it was a fever.
That's why
he wouldn't have been that better the next day.
I mean, if anything, I mean, even if that has subsided, your body is going to just be sore because it's been fighting, you know, and you're just going to have that fatigue going on at the very least. But no, thank you for sharing.
But it just made me think of like a grandmother person. like sits on the bed and like, I really care about you and I really love you and touches your back.
And that maybe
scares the shit out of you at the same time.
And the thing is, that could happen and you can still have the shit scared out of you just because of the, you know, the enormity of what's actually happening. You know, there's a ghost. I'm feeling the contact of a ghost. If you're okay with that, then it may be warm and fuzzy. But if you're like, that's fucking scary, it's scary no matter who it is.
Yeah, it would scare the shit out of me.
Exactly. Let's go to one more caller before we wrap it up for today. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. My name is Rhonda. This is my second call in. I am a proud EPP member. This happened to me this week on Tuesday. I get to work really, really early. So I'm at work 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'm working. So want a cup of coffee. So get up, go into the kitchen and realize I left my sweetener in the drawer. So I walk back. I'm the only person in the office. I open up every morning, turn the lights on. So I walk back to my desk and I smell this perfume. This woman, it's strong woman's perfume. So I'm thinking, okay, somebody's here with me. So I walk back to the back, look around. There's nobody there. So I come back and I'm looking around to see who's got a plug-in or something on this. There's nothing. And just as sure as that smell came, it was gone in an instant. I know what I smelled. It was so strong that it made me go, oh, someone has some nice perfume on. Who is that? You know? So I don't know. And it just as fast as it was there, I'm still the only person here, 12-story building. I'm probably one of three or four people in that building at that time of the morning. So it wasn't anybody there. Housekeeping comes the day before. Everyone comes in and I tell them about it, and come to find out, I'm not the only person to have an experience. My boss in the back, he's there doing COVID, so he's by himself, everybody else at home, and all of a sudden he hears a real slight hello. And he got up, he looked around, checked it up. Sure enough, he's the only one there in the office. So I'll keep you tuned, Tony, to if anything else happens or if anything else goes. I'm going to try to do a little research on the building. There's security downstairs. I'm going to see if they know anything and see if there's something that I can tie this into. Thanks for letting me tell my story. Thanks for being there, for being a great outlet. Thanks, and have a happy Halloween.
And she sent that in October of 2020, by the way.
But, dang, and yeah. I was like, she could give us updates as it goes, but hopefully...
I hope she does.
Maybe you do have an update.
Yeah, hopefully you can give us an update, and I guess happy Halloween early, because this is airing in February, so...
Well, and the thing is, you get a lot of calls.
We do, yeah, and we kind of get to them as we can get to them.
You know, I have had that happen where I smelled perfume really strongly. The one that happens to me more is smelling cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
And that's such a distinct smell.
Especially, it stands out now more than ever because so many people you can't walk around a store and smoke. You know, the things where you used to like, oh, there's a smoker over there. That's not a thing anymore.
Right.
You know, unless you're at a bar. And even then. You know, maybe not, depending on where you're at. So it does. It stands out terribly. I can totally relate to that story. We had an experience at there's an antique store there in Wichita on the west side. What's the big antique store over there off the highway?
Towards
the Cotillion area?
Paramount?
Yeah, Paramount. This was several years ago, but I was walking through there and all of a sudden just smelled this super strong, the pipe tobacco smell, the cherry pipe tobacco.
Which is really distinct.
Completely. And I knew it because my mom's dad smoked that, you know, until the day he died. And that was the only time I ever smelled that smell, but I just knew what it was immediately. And I thought, oh, well, something in this booth must have been with a smoker. That's where my mind was. I wasn't thinking ghost. I was just thinking maybe it's this carpet. Maybe it's, you know, whatever. Walked around the store, came back out that same way, went to that same booth again. That smell is not there. It's completely gone. And anyone who knows smoke, it permeates shit. And if it's in something, it would not have been gone that quickly. And there was no one else in the store that was around there that was smoking. There was nobody that was even in that general vicinity when I was smelling that. It was like the middle of a day on like a Tuesday or something. And it was just so strong. Like the person was right next to you. And then just, it was gone. But creepy nonetheless.
Yeah, I would love to hear more from that woman if she found out anything else.
I would too. So please do. Please do give us an update if you can. We'd love to hear from you. So, did you get the picture from the call earlier? I sent it to you.
Did you text it to me?
No, I sent it to you via Skype.
Oh, that's funny. I saw that pop up, and all I saw was you sent sweet dreams, and I was like, why is Tony sending me
Because
sweet
I
dreams?
Sent you a creepy picture.
Oh, thanks a lot, Tony.
It's in the chat transcript there. It's the one from the caller.
Yeah. It's creepy,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't totally look real to me. I don't know.
It's, I don't know.
But it's creepy.
It looks out of place. It doesn't, like they zoomed in. I don't think she faked it, but I'm trying to, it almost.
Because it's not the exact, yeah, because one's more zoomed in than the other one, which is weird if you're doing the rapid succession picture.
Yeah. I wish that, I hate when people do that. I just want to see the raw image. I don't.
Because my guess is that she zoomed in on that one. So, yeah. But you don't need to because the thing is as big as the door.
Yeah, I just want to see it. It almost looks Grim Reaper-ish, but it could also be someone wearing a black hoodie, too. But that would defy the laws of you know, gravity or physics for that person to get in there in a rapid succession photo.
Well, I don't think, by looking at the picture, it looks more of a, like a reflection,
mm-hmm.
like from the window, but it reflected right where the door is.
But where is it coming from?
Well, like I'm thinking, maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. I guess I would need to know the rest of the room in terms of how that's laid out.
I don't know.
It's just bizarre. It's a creepy looking photo. Thank you for sharing that. And
that's what I thought. Why is Tony sending me sweet dream messages while we're podcasting? Tony, that's it.
There you go. No, it's here's a creepy ghost picture. Sweet dreams. Nah.
Okay, now I want to delete it.
No.
So I don't even. Oh wait, here's a button. More options. I will be deleting it. Oh, crap. All I can do is save report. I'll report you. I can't delete it.
That works. Sending me creepy ghost photos. Yeah, I wonder if that violates the terms of Skype. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.